Well, hello, and welcome to our Good Samaritan Baptist Church Adult Sunday School. This is lesson number 8. This is for Sunday, April 19th, 2020. That's way in the future. The message to Philadelphia. We've been covering the messages that Jesus gave to the seven churches, as recorded in the book of Revelations, and we are up to the Church of Philadelphia. I'd like to start this lesson today by having some prayer requests, and as usual, I'm going to start with my wife. She's been having a pretty rough couple weeks. Yesterday and even this morning, she was almost most of the day yesterday up at the hospital doing, having scans done. Drinking stuff that they can see in an x-ray, trying to figure out if a surgery is even possible to help her feel better and give her a little bit more quality of life for however much longer the Lord has for her. And where she was at before, about 2 weeks ago when she was hospitalized, she's about at that stage again. We were hoping to have this surgery done the beginning of this week, but the surgeon wasn't available or something, so it's been postponed, if he's even going to do it. He'll let us know Monday if she can even have this surgery. And so keep her in your prayers. She's very discouraged. She's starting to be sore again and getting ready to start throwing, feel like she's going to throw up. She hasn't been eating anything. And I'm just hoping that the Lord would give her strength to get her through this. And if it's His will for her to have the surgery, then it will happen. But just keep my wife Jeannie in your prayers. She needs it. The coronavirus is not, even though the numbers are dropping, it seems like the restrictions are increasing. And now to be in public, like in Walmart or the grocery store, you've got to wear a mask. And we know that that's... they can be a real annoyance at times to wear the mask and so on, but I'm thankful that as far as I've heard, I don't know of anyone in our close group or in our area that's been affected by it. I heard that Brother Lutrick, the evangelist that some of you may know, he's doing a slightly bit better. I mean, he's getting better, but he's got quite a ways to go yet, and so hopefully, Lord willing, he'll get over this thing and be able to be healed permanently from it. And I don't know of any other prayer requests at this time, but if you can think of some, just let me know. So that's all the prayer requests that I have. I'm sorry, I haven't been getting out much this last week or so. So from what I can just see on Facebook or a text here and there, I don't know much what's going on with anybody else, but I was thinking about the Pathfinders ministry, that you guys keep that in prayer, because we haven't had any contact with them since it started. I've been talking to Jeannie and to Barb, seeing if we can maybe put a little video together to send them, but you know, with Jeannie not feeling good and Barb working extra hours, it's just been hard to even, you know, to do anything like that. But just keep them in your prayers, because they're completely isolated as well. They're just stuck with each other and their staff. They don't get to go out up like Penny Ann to a thing called program they go to every day. I don't think they do that anymore, so I'm sure it's hard on them. And also for Bill and Jackie's granddaughters, they call once in a while and talk to Jeannie, but they're so lonely too and bored, I'm assuming, and I was thinking to do something to them or for them, but I'm not sure what to do with them. But just keep them in your prayers as well. And Rowan, I don't know, I haven't heard nothing from him at all, so I know Rowan used to like to get out and come to church, but I'm sure now he's just shut in and maybe nothing really to do. So just keep these young people in our prayers, and even some of the adults. I know the grandma and Bill and Jackie, it's got to be hard, you know, just not being able to get around. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your blessings and mercy. Thank you for this opportunity to go through this lesson on the Church of Philadelphia. I just pray, Father, that you can be glorified in our study of your word, and that you would enlighten us, Father, and open our eyes to some things. We thank you for this church in Philadelphia, Lord, how you had nothing bad to say about them, but Lord, help us to use this as an example of how we should be in our own lives, Father. Just thank you for your grace. Lord, again, I pray for these things that you mentioned for my dear wife, that you help her, Lord, encourage her. Help her, Lord, with her physical needs, her physical pain, and help her, Lord, with her discouragement. I just pray you would encourage her and help her, Lord. Just bless her and help. And be with those who are shut in and those who are bored and lonely and discouraged. I just pray that you would encourage each one. Be with those who've got this virus, Lord, and those who are fighting for their life, perhaps. I just pray that you give them the victory, Lord, over this thing. Give our president and our government leaders, Lord, wisdom to do right and to be a help. And Lord, be with the silence to naysayers, Lord, and those who are trying to hurt people and hurt our government with these things. Protect us, Lord, from foreign powers like China and Russia and others that may see a weakness in us and want to take advantage. But Father, we just place our trust and our lives in your hands and ask for you to be in control of all that we do and say. Especially be with us now as we go through this lesson, Lord. Encourage us and open our eyes to some truths in your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The message to Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. First look. The letter to Philadelphia is unique because no complaint was issued against this church, and no corrective action was needed. This was a church that did not hear a reprimand from the Lord. Two things come immediately to mind. First, it is possible to serve the Lord in such a way that Jesus does not need to correct what we are doing. Second, this should be our goal. Every church should study this letter and strive to serve the Lord like the faithful Christians in Philadelphia. In Bible times, the city of Philadelphia was located about 28 miles southeast of Sardis. This was the youngest of these seven cities, having been founded in 150 BC by Attalus of Pergamus, whose nickname was Philadelphus. In Greek, this term means brotherly love. Attalus got this name because of his great devotion to his brother Emmaus. And the city was named Philadelphia in honor of Attalus. The city, along with Sardis and many other places, was destroyed in an earthquake, a great earthquake, in AD 17. Most of the other cities recovered quickly, but Philadelphia suffered for years from the aftermath of this disaster. Fearing aftershocks, the people of Philadelphia were ready to flee the city on a moment's notice. Tiberius Caesar helped rebuild the city after the earthquake, and the city was renamed Neo Caesarea, or New Caesar, for a little while. Later, its name was changed to Flavia in honor of Vespasian, who was a Flavian emperor. A lot of weird, I thought Greek names were bad. Later, the name Philadelphia was reinstated. These people understood what it meant to have different names. All these historical facts have a bearing on the correct interpretation of these verses. All right, closer look. The provision of Jesus. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 says, And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith that he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. In the other six messages to churches, Jesus used symbols from the vision of John to describe himself. In this letter, he did not refer to that vision. Instead, Jesus used five other titles to describe who he is and what he does. Jesus is the Holy One. This means that his character is without flaw or blemish. Jesus is tempted in all points just like we are, but he was without sin. And remember, when he was on earth, he was 100% man. He wasn't no different in the human sense than you and I were. And he was tempted the same way we were. He had the same desires, the same fears, all the things that we have that are a part of being human. Jesus had those too, but he was without sin. All right, Jesus is true, meaning that he is ultimate and genuine reality. He is the final truth about all things. You know, there is an absolute truth. People sometimes say truth is relevant. What's true for you may not be true for me, and vice versa. And that's just baloney. I mean, that's what the world's trying to do. They're trying to get rid of this moral authority. And an absolute, there's an absolute right and wrong. There's an absolute truth. And the world is trying to distance themselves from that and say, no, we don't. Just because you think this is true, just because you believe it's only true that there's two genders, that's your truth. But my truth is there's hundreds of them. Again, that's just baloney. Jesus is the truth. What the Bible says is the truth, and nothing can change that. Nothing or nobody can change it. The truth is the truth, and it can't change. And Jesus is that truth. This is who Jesus is. These things that you just talked about, the Holy One. Truth. Find the truth. Alright. Let's see where I left off that here. Jesus holds what he called the key of David. This is a reference to Isaiah 22:22, which talks about opening doors and shutting doors and so on. And it's in reference to the evil Shibna. It's a reference to Isaiah 22:22, where God replaced the evil Shibna with the righteous Eliakim, who was a faithful servant. The thought here is that the will of God can never be successfully opposed by anyone. God governs all the events of history on earth. Jesus will open some doors and no man will shut them. And he will close some doors and no man will be able to open them. Have confidence and have faith in that, knowing that he is in control. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus declared that all power is given to him. Now Jesus declared that he has this power. He had it and he has it. And that he will use it. He has power and he will use that power for his will to be done. Alright, the responsibilities of his churches. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. I know thy works, speaking of Philadelphia. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not. But they say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Jesus used his power to open and shut for the benefit of the church in Philadelphia. He opened doors of service and opportunity for them, and no one could close those open doors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul spoke of an open door at Ephesus. And in Acts 16, verses 6 through 9, how God had closed the door to Bithynia and Troas to Paul and Silas. Later, God opened the door to Ephesus. God opens and closes doors. Jesus told this church why they had an open door set before them. Jesus told them that he had kept his word and had not denied his name, for they had kept his word and not denied his name. Jesus told them that he had opened a door for them because they had a little power and had kept his word and had not denied his name. First, they had a little strength or a little power. An open door is set before us when we demonstrate to the Lord that we have the willingness to go through it. This happens when we realize that our strength is small and limited, but that the power of God is unlimited. get this power from our faith when we act in faith and expect God to act as well. When we are convinced that God is able to do something in our lives, we then begin to look for opportunities for Him to work, and at that point, the doors begin to open. You need to have faith. Definitely. We must realize that a child of God can never be alone and can never serve the Lord alone. Jesus is always with us no matter what we're doing. You know, when we're at the job working, when we're, you know, on vacation, wherever we are, Jesus is with us. And especially when we're serving Him, in whatever way we do it, you know, handing out tracts, witnessing, helping others, whatever, Jesus is right there with us, helping us. We may become discouraged, and when we do, we need to realize that our strength is small, but that the power of God that is available to work through us is unlimited. We have important spiritual decisions to make. We must individually and corporately decide what is the will of God for our lives. However, once we determine His will, God's power is there to help us do His will. We can always follow where God leads. The power to do so is not in us, it is in Jesus. It is doubtful that many churches or individuals truly understand or use the power available to them to serve the Lord. Now I read that statement, I thought, boy, that is so true. Not just in churches, but in our lives too. I used to, you know, there's a phrase in Scripture that says, "Oh, thee of little faith," Jesus said to His disciples when they doubted. And a lot of times I'll say that about myself, "Oh, me of little faith." According to Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 9, the Holy Spirit is living in your heart, or you are not a Christian at all. If you're saved, born again, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you and He's there to help. He is the comforter. He is the helper. But if you're not saved, if you haven't trusted Christ your Savior, you don't have the Spirit of God. You're on your own. Actually, you have the Spirit of Antichrist in you. We always have the power to go through any door that God opens for us. He won't open the door and then we're unable to get through it without, you know, He's going to help us through that door. Whatever opportunity He opens for us, He'll help us to accomplish it if we let Him. Then Jesus said that we must put the Word of God first in our hearts. We must study it, teach it, preach it, and truly know it. And this is for every member of the church. This is for everyone, every Christian. We need to study it, the Bible. We need to preach it. We need to know it. Again, same old, you know, bark up the same tree again, but we need to study our Bibles. We need to read through them in a year, every year. Read through your Bibles every year, at least once a year, maybe more than once. That is so important. Can't be overemphasized. According to Romans 8, okay, you read that one already. Then Jesus said that we must put the Word of God first in our hearts. Okay, I read that too. The Bible is the greatest book ever written. It teaches us lessons we can learn nowhere else. It will show us how to live and prepare us for eternity. Best of all, the Word of God reveals the Son of God. The Bible is not about us. The Bible is about Jesus. And you know, that is kind of interesting when you think about that. We have the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Savior. It's all about the sin of man and the mess we're in and God's plan to fix it. And, it is. It's all about Jesus, one way or another. The Bible is a living testimony of Jesus Christ. When we know His character, we can have fellowship with Him and follow Him. And yet, speaking of that character, we talked about reading the Scriptures through every year, reading the Bible through every year. And as you do that year after year, after a while, you begin to see the character and understand the character of God and Jesus. You begin to kind of know them more than just a name or a historical figure. You begin to see their personality and you see their character. You begin to know them. It's kind of interesting. And when we can know His character, we can have fellowship with Him and follow Him. We can be conformed to His image and appropriate His power in our lives. Those qualities will allow us to enter the open doors that are set before us. The Christian who honestly assesses his strength and learns to depend on the great power of God and who is immersed in the Word of God and hides that Word in his heart will never deny the name of Jesus. And we've You probably all know people who have denied the name of Jesus or who've cursed him out or use his name as curse words, and a Christian should never, that word should never be on their tongue, ever. A Christian should never use the Lord's name in vain. Once we know the truth, we can never unlearn it. Once we know Jesus, the truth will always be there waiting to be brought to the surface of our lives, and it will silently shape our character and mold us into the character of Christ. Jesus will also use his power to open and shut the doors of opportunity to cause the enemies of a church to respect that church and openly acknowledge the blessings of God. We haven't seen much of that in our lifetime anyway. But I know it happens. I've read about it in other churches. We have read the phrase synagogue of Satan. That was in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Before in the message to Smyrna. These were so-called Jews who opposed the work of the Lord's churches. The amazing thing is that even these unbelievers acknowledge the blessing of God on the church of Philadelphia. When we truly show the love of Christ and preach and live the truth, we can communicate with anyone, anywhere. And they will respect us for what we say. This is not because of our character. It is because of the power of God that flows through us. And, you know, during this coronavirus thing, this pandemic, people who normally wouldn't care one way or another about the Lord, not interested in all of him, are now kind of interested. And they want to know, what's going on? Is this something that the Bible had talked about? And it's an interesting time where now they're looking, they may look at you in a different light and think, this person may have some knowledge that I need to gain, to learn from. Maybe they got some insight into what's going on because the world's not really telling me anything. Take advantage of the times we're in. The promise of help, Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let an ear hear what it's saying. Read the scriptures. Jesus will use his power to open and shut in the future. The saints in Philadelphia had been patient, and so had Jesus. He has been waiting for centuries for his enemies to be made his footstool. Patience is the key to being kept by God in the hour of temptation. Boy, patience can be a very difficult thing to have patience when you need it. When you yield to temptation, we are cheating ourselves out of future blessings. We trade a temporary pleasure for eternal reward. Times of temptation come to every child of God. Those who understand the word and recognize the power of God in their lives will not give in to momentary pleasure when it means the loss of eternal blessing. This faithful church was promised deliverance from the hour of temptation. This not only from the temptation itself, it is also from the time or hour of the trial. This is a comforting promise because the coming of the Lord is getting closer with every passing day. And boy, I tell you what, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that's true. If you've been saved for any amount of time, you know that the Bible is unfolding before our very eyes, and the Lord's return is getting closer and closer, and possibly even in our lifetime. It doesn't seem so unbelievable now to think that Jesus' rapture could happen in my lifetime. Even though I'm 65 years old, it could still happen in my lifetime. Jesus gave the wonderful promise that he is coming quickly. And I know the scoffers were saying, Christians have been saying that for 2,000 years. Yeah, well, to God, those 2,000 years are like 2 days. A 1,000 years are like a day, and a day like 1,000 years to the Lord. Time's not that important to him like it is to us. Let's see. In the way we understand it, time may seem to drag on, but in truth, we are moving rapidly, heading for the sure and soon return of Jesus to the earth. Jesus encouraged this church to hold on to what they had so that no one would take their crown. We talked about crowns last week. I think it was last week, the week before last, whatever it was. Let's see. We must not allow the desire for the things of the world to become uppermost in our thinking. The reward for service well done is a greater opportunity for service. Another opportunity to serve. Two promises were given to the faithful saints of Philadelphia. First, they would become pillars. This is a symbol of permanence and strength. In Galatians, Paul referred to Peter, James, and John as pillars. When we see ancient ruins, we often notice that the only thing left standing are the pillars. If Paul, Peter, James, and John had followed anyone other than Jesus, we would never have known about them. Because they gave their life to Jesus, they have blessed millions down through the ages, including churches in the world today. You know, I've been reading through my scriptures, and I forget what book of the Bible it is, but I think of Nehemiah or something, listing all these names of all these people, and Levites and workers in the temple or whatever it was, just name after name after name, and, you know, names that we have a hard time pronouncing. A lot of them aren't familiar with us in the sense that they're not used commonly today. But when I read these uncommon names and thinking, maybe that's the only place that's ever been mentioned in the scriptures, that one little time, and it's a weird name. It doesn't even tell you who the person is or what they did so much, just a little teeny tidbit about what they were mentioned for. But to think how many millions upon millions of people have read that person's name. To God, that person was important enough to add into His Word for all of eternity. That name can be read in the Word of God, and that's what's awesome. So when you read those names, think, who is this person, and why? What's the big deal? What they did? Well, it is a big deal to God, so it should be kind of a big deal to us too. So let's take the time just to read them, and try to pronounce them best we can, and not just rip through them just to get through them. They were important people to God. All right. Let's see. Jesus mentioned three names. First was the name of my God. As a child of God matures and grows in grace and knowledge, he will assume the character of God. As a result, he will become more compassionate, more understanding of others, and more mature in his judgment. Second, Jesus said he will write on them the name of the city of God. This is the New Jerusalem that is vividly described in the last few chapters of Revelation. And we know how God said that He loved Jerusalem. Then Jesus said He will write on them His own new name. We are told in Revelation 19:12 that we do not know that new name. And that's going to be interesting. When His redemptive work is complete in the new heaven and the new earth, He will be given a new name. No one knows that name, but Jesus promised to share it with those who are faithful to Him here in this life. What a wonderful promise. We will share His new work and His new name through all eternity. I was thinking when I was reading this, studying, preparing for this lesson, I'm thinking, we're so used to the name Jesus, and we're looking forward to saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, there's coming a day when He's going to have a new name. No idea what it may be, but you know what? We're going to be there when that new name is revealed, and we're going to understand why God gave Him that new name, or why He took on that new name. And boy, it's going to be wonderful on our sight. And I don't think we're going to miss things. Well, I'm always wanting to call Him Jesus. We're just going to adore that new name, and we're going to just love Him and His name, and it's just going to be wonderful. A final word. Jesus closed this letter with the admonition to stop, look, and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to our hearts. These words reveal our future, and we shall understand them and apply them to our hearts every day. When God opens a door of opportunity, we should go through it immediately. He will be with us, and He will give us the power to do whatever needs to be done. We are being faithful to His word and His name as we do. And when God closes the door, we should never stand there wishing that it would open again. God closes the door, He closes it for a reason. That's the end of it. When we accept the simple fact that God is in control of our lives will be forever changed. Amen to that. We are God's workmanship. He made us, and He has made us for a purpose. Every human being ever born on earth was born for a reason. God has a purpose for every human being ever born. I also believe that God has a purpose for every baby aborted in the womb. God had a purpose for that life. There'll be a great day of reckoning coming for all those who done those horrible things and have not asked for forgiveness, not repented of it and asked for forgiveness. Let's see here. Our challenge is to agree with Jesus about what is open and what is shut, and then follow him wherever he leads. And in this time right we're living in right now, right this moment, we need to follow him, and we need to do what he says. We need to take advantage of every open door, to be a witness whenever we can, to hold the faith, to not get weak, not to get frightened, and especially not to look to the world for any help. We need to rely on Jesus Christ himself, and keep praying for our world, keep praying for our government, and all the lost ones around us that we have contact with, that we can continue to be a witness through this scary time for a lot of people. So that was the Church of Philadelphia, and I have a new appreciation for the name Philadelphia. I don't care much for the city down in Pennsylvania, but I like this church in the Book of Revelation named Philadelphia. So next week we'll be on Lesson 9, the message to Laodicea, and until next week, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your blessings again and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the truths revealed in your word. Lord, just watch over us throughout the week, Lord. Keep each one safe. Protect us, Father. And help us, Lord, to be a witness, to be an encouragement one to another. We do pray for our church, Father, and our pastor and his wife. We just pray that you would encourage them. Lord, I just pray as we look forward to coming back to get back together again when we can meet in the church as a regular church and a real church as you laid out in your scriptures, that, Lord, that we would just continue to praise your name and lift you up. Thank you so much for your blessings, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I filmed this out here in my back field. Got my back field. It's actually my side field. This is where Debbie used to keep her horses. I had my horses here too. What is it on there? A little boat there or something, but this is just the old horse pasture. And there's just some little brush lot behind us, some pine tree and so on. Yeah, it was kind of chilly out here, but it wasn't too bad.